In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thy only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by thy Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The epistle lesson for this Sunday, the first Sunday after Trinity, is found recorded in the first epistle or letter of the Apostle John, chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, and reads as follows. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Here endeth the epistle lesson. Now sing hymn 250. The gospel lesson for this Sunday is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, and reads as follows. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as this is found on page 12 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Thank you.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 4, verses 26 to 29, and reads as follows. And he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, because we cannot see God with our physical eyes, atheists deny his existence. And the sinful world around us and the devil also try to get us to question whether or not God actually exists, whether he really is truly watching over us and hearing and answering our prayers and so on. And they say, where's the visible evidence for any of that? But though the Lord is invisible, St. Paul says, "Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." But sadly, even Christians, because of their flesh, sometimes lose sight of the fact of all that God is doing for them behind the scenes. So when they have success in their work, they are tempted simply to pat themselves on the back and credit their success with their hard work, their tenacity, their stick-to-itiveness, possibly their mental gifts and so on, without really giving God the credit that he deserves. Really, every good thing that you have, every success that you've ever had, comes from God. God is to get the glory and the credit for all of it. So then there's nothing really to boast about. The Apostle Paul writes to the Christians in Corinth, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive from God? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory or boast as if thou hadst not received it from God?" Now, this certainly does not just apply to all the earthly blessings that we receive from our gracious Heavenly Father. In fact, our text for today focuses us on the spiritual and eternal blessings that we have. Let us therefore focus our meditation this morning upon how God is working behind the scenes throughout a Christian's life and death. We shall see in the first place that when a person becomes a Christian and grows in his faith, it is the Lord who brings that about. And secondly, that when a Christian's life of service is over, it is the Lord who brings his earthly existence to an end and takes him home to heaven. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. As Jesus does with his famous parable of the sower, so also with this parable recorded in our text for today, God compares the effects of his word in the heart of man to the effect of a seed sown in the ground. But unlike the parable of the sower, which teaches that much of that seed sown never does result in healthy fruit-bearing plants, our text for today just focuses on the seed that does grow up into a healthy, fruitful plant. We read, "And he said, 'So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, and then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Now, even though God does not furnish an explanation for this parable, if we recognize the similarities with other parables that he taught, such as the parable of the sower recorded earlier in this same chapter of Mark 4, we can see the point that Jesus is here making. Again, the seed representing the Word of God. The plant that grows up represents the individual believer or Christian. The fruit produced by the plant, as it says in our text, the full corn or grain in the ear, represents the good works produced by a Christian in his life. Throughout the scriptures, the person's works is described as being like the fruit of a plant. Especially a casual observer may not be able to tell what kind of a plant is by just looking at the shape of the plant or the kind of leaves that are on the plant, but if you look at the fruit, well, then you know what kind of plant it is. If it's got apples on it, you know it's an apple tree. If it's got oranges on it, an orange tree. Accordingly, a person's heart can be revealed by his works. We can't look into the heart and see whether or not a person's a believer or an unbeliever. But a person will show his faith or his unbelief by his fruits, by what he does. Jesus told his disciples, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Now, the growth of the plant is described in our text like this. First, the blade, then the ear, after that, the full corn in the ear. But how exactly does all that growth take place in that little plant? Jesus says in our text that not even the man who sows the seed really understands how it all works. The farmer doesn't need to understand how it works, really. He doesn't need to know the science of how the seed and the dirt and the water and the air, the CO2, work, and the sunlight for photosynthesis. He doesn't need to understand all that. He simply sows the seed in the ground, just lets it take care of itself, according to God's perfect design. This is what Jesus describes in our text, saying, "The earth bringeth forth fruit of herself." It just does it. Now, the unseen hand behind all of that is God's. It's really not the earth itself, or the water itself, or the sunlight itself. But it's God working, using all those things to bring about the plant growth. We read in the Psalms, "The Lord causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth." Yes, it is God, even though you don't see him, who causes the plants to grow and become fruitful. And he has chosen to accomplish this through certain means. The means of the seed, the ground, the water, the sunlight, the air. As was already mentioned, the plant in this parable represents an individual believer. The growth of the plant, then, represents the spiritual growth of a believer, growing in God's grace. The fruit, again, represents the good works of the Christian. After a person has been brought to saving faith, which happens in an instant, he grows as a Christian over time. That's not instantaneous. A person doesn't instantaneously go from being a brand new Christian to being a mature Christian. That takes some time. This is described in our text as first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But how exactly does all that spiritual growth take place? As was the case with the physical growth, God uses means to accomplish it. The means chosen by God to bring about this spiritual growth is what we call the means of grace, the gospel and the sacraments. Just as the man who sows the seed doesn't need to know the science behind how it works and how the seed germinates and grows into a plant, so also we do not really need to know how God uses his means to bring a person to faith, how applying water in the name of the triune God brings a little baby to faith, how a person hearing the word of God is changed from being a stubborn unbeliever into a beloved child of God, how the sacrament of the altar continues to strengthen the faith of the Christians. We don't need to know how God does it, but we just trust the process. We know that is how God does it. And so we use those means, because God has explained that through those means, he brings about such spiritual growth. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And as St. Paul told the Ephesian pastors, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, the gospel, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Accordingly, we must never despise these means that God has given us for our spiritual growth, but instead make diligent use of the gospel and the sacraments. If we do not, our faith will grow weaker and weaker and finally die, just like a plant will die if the means needed for it to stay alive are kept from it, if it is not given the water and the sunlight that it needs. With the loss of faith, we would also lose any hope of salvation. So, yes, we need to make diligent use of the means of grace so that we can continue to grow and be healthy spiritual plants. That is what God wants for us, and that is what we want as Christians. If we really tasted the love and grace of God in the gospel, we want it more, and we want to grow thereby. The Apostle Peter writes, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Yes, if we really tasted the grace of God and love it, then we want more of it, because it tastes so sweet to our new man of faith. But even when we do not have a Bible right in front of us, we should still be using the Word of God, meditating upon it at all times, applying the lessons that we've learned in Holy Scripture. We are definitely not to think of the Word of God as being something we just listen to on Sundays and then forget about the rest of the week. We are to continue meditating upon it in our daily lives, whether at church or work or school or at home, and thereby through the word stay healthy, fruit-bearing spiritual plants. While it is 100% the work of God that brings us to faith and that preserves us in the faith, since he uses means, again, the means of the gospel and the sacraments, we need to make sure that we're using those means. That requires work on our part, to use the means. And that's not us keeping ourselves in the faith, it's God who keeps us in the faith, through the means of grace. So we need to use the means, and that does require work. It requires work on your part right now, sitting in the pew, to stay focused on the sermon, to stay focused on the word that's being preached to you, and not just letting your mind wander all over the place. That takes some effort. It takes some work on your part, committing the word of God to memory, learning those passages like you have in your catechism, and then after you've learned them, it takes some work to review them, to keep them fresh in your mind. It takes some work to open your Bible and read it every day. It takes some work to apply the Word of God in your life. So, make use of those means. And then let God, through those means, strengthen you, build you up in your faith, so that you can continue growing like that healthy plant described in our text. There will be a time, though, when that healthy plant is cut down. That's described next, in the last verse of our text, in the harvest. Jesus says, "But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he, the farmer, putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." So yes, finally, at the proper time, which is really only known to the Lord, when our earthly life of service has reached its completion, God will put in his harvesting sickle and end our earthly lives and take us home to heaven, like wheat harvested and gathered into the storehouse. When we think about this harvesting with the sickle on the last day or at the time of our death, that really shouldn't disturb us or make us think that's a scary picture. Now, death for us Christians is not something to dread. It's actually something we can look forward to with joy and excitement. Though it is true that because of our sins we only deserve condemnation in hell, yet because of Christ Jesus, our Savior, we know that all of our sins are forgiven. Christ already paid for all of our sins with his holy precious blood. He fulfilled all of God's commandments for us, so we have no guilt before God anymore. Jesus has taken that away from us. Through Christ and his vicarious or substitutional work of atonement, we know that paradise awaits us on the other side of death. So we can joyfully declare with the Apostle Paul, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And again, "Our Savior, Jesus Christ, hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Indeed, thanks be to God for giving us poor sinners victory over death through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have the gift of eternal life in heaven, received by faith, generated and preserved through the gospel. The fact that we Christians believe in this wonderful message, this testimony of Scripture, the fact that this good seed has taken root in our heart and grown up into a fruitful plant so that we trust and rely on Christ Jesus as our Savior is something that only God could accomplish within us by means of his word. And through that priceless treasure of the gospel, the Holy Ghost continues to strengthen us in this saving faith, cause us to produce more and more good works, fruits of faith in our lives, gives us great comfort and joy throughout life, even when we are facing death. Knowing that finally, when our earthly pilgrimage is over, the Lord will put in his harvesting sickle, and our souls will be taken by the holy angels into the endless joy and peace that awaits us in heaven, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. O Lord, look upon us unworthy sinners with thy grace, and receive the offerings which of thy boundless goodness we now place before thee, and do bless these offerings for thy mercy's sake. Amen. Let us rise to pray. Almighty and everlasting God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we worship thee and give thanks to thee, that by the preaching of thy word thou art pleased continually to gather unto thyself from among the sinful lost race of man a holy and everlasting church, made up of all true believers and only true believers, as the invisible home of thine abiding presence and power among men. We beseech thee to enlighten, sanctify, and so to rule us in our hearts and minds, that we may know, honor, and worship thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. We pray thee that it may please thee to cause thy word to be in us evermore as a well of water springing up into everlasting life, and that by thy word of truth we may be preserved in the saving faith unto the end. Bring to naught, we implore thee, the wicked designs of all false teachers and ungodly men who would lead us away from the green pastures of thy word into the destructive ways of sin and Satan. Enable us to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, that the lives of all who profess thy name may be to thee an acceptable sacrifice. Do thou, O gracious God, through thy word, help us all to increase in knowledge, faith, charity, purity, and truth. And to this end, provide for a future ministry of thy word among us and among the other congregations in our conference, that men may be moved to study for the pastoral office in our seminary, that thy precious word as becometh it may not be bound, but may continue for generations to come to be preached and taught for the edification of Christ's holy people, that we and others after us at last may receive the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. Continue graciously to bless Pastor Leitz in body, mind, and spirit, and enable him, if it be thy will, to continue serving thee and his congregation in the office of the ministry to which thou hast called him. Likewise bless, according to thy rich grace and mercy, our brethren in Nigeria and Russia. Help them to bear every cross with Christian patience and cheerfulness, trusting in the promise that thou wilt turn all of their hardships into blessings through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we furthermore pray, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
O Lord God, Heavenly Father, Thou hast granted us life and favor. Thou hast kept us hidden under the shadow of Thy wings. Thy compassions are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Let our mouth be filled with Thy praise and Thine honor all the day, and forgive us all our sins. Do good unto us in Thy good pleasure, and let Thy grace and mercy abound in us. Teach us to know the way wherein we should walk, and lead us in the way everlasting, through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with Thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We shall now sing verse 4 of hymn 246. I wish to make the following announcements. All the normally scheduled classes and meetings this week are canceled. I'm going to be out of town at the convention in Chicago. I will also not be here next Sunday, but we'll still be having a regular divine worship service that day. There won't be a Bible class or Sunday school next Sunday, though. So just come for the worship service at 11 a.m. Now may the Lord be with you all on your homeward way.